From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the brand new Steve Nelson Performance Studio, Katie Tunstall. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm thrilled that you're here. It's nice to meet you.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. What an absolutely amazing part of the country. It's so beautiful.
You have brought in a beautiful miniature Taylor guitar. Tell me a little bit about it.
It's a Taylor GS Mini. I recently just teamed up with Taylor. I took an incredible trip with an organization called Reverb, which is Adam Gardner from the band Guster, if anyone's familiar with them.
We play Guster?
Great Guster. Great, great band, Guster. Great Guster. It sounds like it should be a phrase. They took me out to the Peruvian Amazon jungle along with James Valentine from Marine 5 and Stefan Lessard from Dave Matthews Band. And we went down there really just to learn a little bit about illegal logging and the effect that that was having on not only the forests, but the actual indigenous populations of people who live there. And it was fascinating and eye-opening and kind of devastating, but ultimately quite hopeful, particularly when you come across companies like Taylor who are really making such an enormous effort to make sure that they are following environmental guidelines and really supporting sustainable forestry in that part of the world. It's the lungs of the world down there. It's absolutely incredible part of the globe, and very sad to see these trees being cut down. And the indigenous population down there, they really see trees as people. They see Deanna, who was the head of the community who was traveling with us, said often through their ayahuasca ceremonies as well, they have relationships with trees where they're actually individuals and they're family members. And so it's just gutting seeing what's happening and the lack of care taken with those ancient virgin forests. And Taylor are doing this amazing job of setting up dedicated renewable forests of ebony and Cameroon and all sorts of different precious woods that have always been used in guitar making. So for me, it's really important now that I know that if I'm getting an instrument, then it's coming from a good karma place. Yeah. And so this is my little mini Taylor that I'm playing, and it's dinky so it can fit in my RV, which is how I'm getting across the country at the moment.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about this because I know you are a big fan of travel. We'll get to that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
I would imagine by this point in your life and career, you have been to pretty much every corner of the globe, have you not?
Almost.
Yeah.
I had a cancelled show in India, and that was gutting. I went anyway. I took the flight, but I didn't play. The festival got cancelled. But it has been an incredible ride. I've been taken to all these fantastic places. And I've toured the US many times. I mean, over the last more than 10 years. But I've always done it on a tour bus. Mm. And opening up for the brilliant Bare Naked Ladies on tour this summer, I was like, I'm doing it solo, and I have a tour manager and a guitar tech. It would be so insane for us to be on a tour bus with like 10 beds on it, never mind super expensive. And we were like, okay, let's drive this thing and see the country. And it's just mind-blowing.
Yeah. It's big.
It's vast.
Yeah, it's really
big. But also, it's incredible where the landscape. I'm a huge lover of nature and landscape, and landscape's always been a really big inspiration for me as a kind of mirror for writing. And it's just incredible that you'll suddenly be in like a. It's not like there's little trees and then little mountains. It suddenly just goes bam, and you're in a completely different, you know, scenescape. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. I think my first exposure to you and your music was on a British show I dearly love later with Jules Holland.
It's a show
that's just exposed so many amazing artists from all different genres. That was kind of a last minute call up for
it
you,
really
if
was,
I understand the story right. You were not on the schedule for that program.
No, I got a 24-hour call because Nas the rapper was due to be on the show and he pulled out. And the scouts had come and seen me rehearse. And I was at that point, I'd been playing Black Horse and the Cherry Tree at coffee shops and in bars. But Eye to the Telescope, my first record, was finished. And I'd written Black Horse after the record was finished because I was so fed up of being like Phoebe from Friends playing Smelly Cat with just a guitar. I had to make more noise and more rhythm. After making this kind of band-sounding record, I wanted to make more noise and have that rhythm element. So I was basically learning how to use a loop pedal, and Black Horse was pretty much me experimenting how to use this thing, I wrote that song.
We've actually got an Oy Vavoy record in our music library.
Oh, no way.
Which was the band that you started experimenting with, right?
Oy Vavoy was the Jewish hip-hop band that I was a guest vocalist for, and it is the sound engineer for that band, Moshik, who had a loop pedal in his bag at one of the rehearsals, and the band left, and I was talking to him, and I said, how can I get a bigger sound out of what I'm doing? He's like, I have this thing in my bag.
Right.
So Oy Vavoy was a big part of my journey.
So how many minutes after that show aired did it take for your world to blow up?
I pretty much woke up to a different existence
yeah.
the next morning. So for anyone who doesn't know the show, Jules Holland was a brilliant, is a brilliant musician who was in the band Squeeze. Now is a very well-loved musician and still working musician, but presenter of this show later with Jules Holland, and he brings completely disparate groups of genres of music together. So, for example, the night that I was asked to go on the show, it was myself, Jackson Browne, Anita wow. Baker, The Cure, and an amazing British band called The Futureheads. And so you can imagine, I was just completely blown away, and I'm just glad to be let through the door. And then when I woke up the next morning, I had won the online poll of the favorite artist of the night.
Wow.
With all those other artists.
What had been your biggest audience to that point?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I can't think, actually. Before Jules, it would have been, I don't know, maybe 100 people?
Really?
Like a bar show or like a gig? Wow. Yeah, I hadn't really done anything
that's
big.
That's amazing. Yeah. Wow. Well, I would love to hear you play something for us. And I know that recently you have been involved with a special side project
yeah.
with Mike McCready. Tell us a little bit about it, and then you're going to actually do that tune, right?
Yeah, the legend that is Mike McCready, guitarist of Pearl Jam. We met in the mountains. We're both keen skiers, and we met in the mountains a few years ago, and we said that we'd love to do something together. And when Tom Petty passed, we were both huge, huge fans. He's one of our favorite of all time musicians and writers. And we wanted to do something to honor his legacy. But also, with everything that was happening in the world, we both felt really strongly that this song, I Won't Back Down, was such a relevant anthem so many decades later for all these people that were really gathering and standing up for justice and fighting any injustice that they were seeing through peaceful protests and marches. And there's a real groundswell of people power happening across the planet. So we just kind of wanted to offer something to be a soundtrack to all of that. And so we also asked fans to send in videos and photographs of marches and protests they'd taken part in. And it was really emotional seeing it all together. And we had to kind of try and figure out a slightly different spin. There's no point in just doing it exactly the same.
Sure.
And we had a great time. Leah Julius, who's the bassist in Thunder Pussy, the Seattle band, but actually played drums on the track. We had a great time.
And you're going to do it for us?
I'd love to.
It's KT Tunstall, live on Jefferson Public Radio. Won't Back Down. Tom Petty cover. It's Katie Tunstall playing live for us today in the Steve Nelson Performance Space here at Jefferson Public Radio. There is a new record due out soon. We'll talk about that in just a minute. The most recent, I guess, technically is Kin from 2016. Yeah. About a half dozen years or so ago, you were talking about and thinking about maybe shelving this, at least temporarily, due to life hiccups, just burnout or what?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think it's a convergence of many factors, and you just reach, you know, I think we all reach crisis points where we question what we're doing, and we have to maybe come at life from a different, fresher, wiser angle to see how we want to go forward. And if we, you know, particularly if you're feeling like you don't want to go on in the same way that you have been. And my fourth record was called Invisible Empire Crescent Moon, and I made it with a brilliant artist called Hau Gelb down in Tucson, Arizona. He's got a band called Giant Sands. Definitely check out if you don't know them. And I'd actually made that record whilst my father had passed away and I'd got divorced. And it was just a crazy time, as you can imagine. And I went out and toured that record for a couple of years, and I think I just didn't really give myself any time to calibrate after that stuff happening. And I decided to move to Venice Beach, California and write music for movies and not make records anymore.
Yeah.
I just felt completely defined by being a musician. I didn't know who I was anymore outside of being Katie Tunstall, who made records. And I was like, this is not cool. I need to feel confident that I have a healthy relationship with who I am outside of what I do.
So did you deal with that sort of emotional stress period by diving into collaborative work with other people, or isolation, or by just simply,
There was the record. Half the record was made before all that stuff happened. Mm. And then I took a couple of months out, not before my dad died and I got divorced, actually. It was just coincided with the break between these two sessions, and I kind of ran back to Tucson to finish the record. And there was lots of other things I've always wanted to do and I hadn't done. I really wanted to learn film scoring.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. Are you actually doing orchestral writing?
I don't write for big 80-piece orchestras. I would definitely seek some assistance if I was going to take on a project like that. But I certainly, after studying music through school and college, I love writing for orchestral instruments and a small string section. And I was accepted onto the Sundance Film Institute's Composer's Lab, which is up in Northern California, at George Lucas's Skywalker Ranch, which is basically where mix engineers go when they die if they've been good. It's just complete heaven. And we were tutored by total Hollywood luminaries such as James Newton Howard, Harry Gregson Williams, Alan Silvestri, who did the music for Back to the Future. So it was probably the steepest learning curve of my adult life. It was extraordinary, and it was just so good to exercise some different creative muscles and learn something new.
Did it help your songwriting, or did it just give you a break?
I think what I've learned through doing music for film is how to be lyrical without using words. And I'd always liked with my own songwriting that there was that juxtaposition of like writing quite caustic lyrics and putting it with quite a jolly song. It was something I did quite often. But I would rarely really think about creating a soundscape atmosphere without saying anything lyrically, and really using the music as a lyrical tool. And I think on this new record, particularly the bridges have always been a really exciting part of a song for me, of where you can take someone in, you know, you've got 16 bars and you can really inject something. I was laughing the other day because I was talking to someone about how life is basically this song. And the verses, pardon my language, is where all the shit happens. You know, you're just like, that's the stuff you got to get through. That's the difficult stuff. Then when you sit by the pool with a margarita, that's the chorus. Like when you're on holiday, that's the chorus. And then the bridge is like when this really weird, trippy thing happens in your life where you kind of go into the hills for a couple of years and disappear. That's your bridge. So it was a nice way of describing how those different parts of songwriting feel for me.
And you've got a brand new one for us today. Yeah,
I'd love to play a new one. So this is an album track from the new record, and I wrote this on a tour bus in Austin, Texas, in the rain, and it was just an amazing atmosphere. And we were up high on this hill next to this theater that was built by a cult. It's there's a documentary about it on Netflix. I forget what it's called now, but it was a really spooky part of Austin, Texas, and it's called Backlash and Vinegar.
It's KT Tunstall, live on Jefferson Public Radio.
I carved a hole in the sun, black edges, easy to get lost in there, easy to get lost out there. Stop the draft where the hope escapes. I've gotta hold myself better, fold out just like a map of the mountains, be the upsetter, and watch these bridges burn.
Brand new tune from KT Tunstall playing live for us today here on Jefferson Public Radio. That one is called Backlash and Vinegar from a record that is not yet named.
Under wraps.
Yeah.
It is under wraps. But what I can tell you is that Kin, the last record, was the first album in a trilogy.
Okay.
So I decided that it would be a three-record project, and Kin being the spirit record, the soul record. This new one is all about the body. It's all about physicalness. And
you said it's a little more rocking.
It's very rock. It's very geared around playing electric guitar, which I haven't I haven't kind of centered on the electric before, so that was very exciting. And it's produced by Nick McCarthy, who is the guitarist and keyboard player and writer in Franz Ferdinand, your amazing Scottish band. And he left the band a couple of years ago to concentrate on producing and doing his own stuff. But he's a phenomenal musician, and we wrote four or five tunes together for the record.
So what is going to be the tenor of the third of the trilogy?
So the third record is the Mind album.
Okay.
So it's going to be Spirit, Body, and Mind.
And they
all have three-letter titles.
All right.
So there's a guess.
You seem like you're in a good place now, musically.
Yeah, I feel great. I feel, I'm able to laugh at myself for saying that I was going to retire for 10 years, and then it took 18 months to write a new record. It basically took driving around PCH and Mulholland Drive in LA, listening to Tom Petty and Fleetwood Mac, and then that was that. I was writing another record, and it was very Californian. And but I feel a reset. There was a massive personal reset, and I just feel this is chapter two, and it's almost like I can hardly remember how I felt before all that crap went down, and it's I feel like a new person.
Well, I'm thrilled you're here.
Yeah,
it's nice to meet you.
You too.
I'm excited to hear the new record.
Thank you.
You've also announced that you're leaving Los Angeles.
I am definitely thinking of leaving Los Angeles. It hasn't happened yet, but I've been there for, I've moved to Venice Beach, absolutely loved it, been there for 4 years, and realized that I've always just wanted to try living in different parts of the world, and I can't stay in too many places for too long if I'm going to see more than that place. So it's time to move.
Do you have a short list?
I'm thinking I love Montana. Fell in love with Montana. I'm a very keen skier. So being in the mountains is for sure very inviting. And I love Bozeman. It's a great town and big sky around there. I play some shows around there in ski season, and there's some great people up there. It's a nice artistic community. So yeah, I think that's the idea. It hasn't happened yet, so I'll check back with you.
Katie,
but there's
Tunstall.
Always Tokyo, Berlin, New York.
Is that the other short
that's
list?
The other short. That,
wow.
It's not a very short list.
Wow. Katie Tunstall is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is due out end of summer. Yeah. So relatively soon.
As the leaves begin to fall from the trees.
Fantastic.
There will be a new record.
Do you have one more tune for us today?
Yeah, I'd love to play one.
What are you going to do?
Well, I feel like I should maybe play something you know.
Okay.
Here's Black Horse and the Cherry Tree.
So I'm gonna let it do all the talking. Ooh. Came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh. I felt a little fear from my back. Said, don't look back, just keep on walking. Ooh. And the big black horse looked at the trees and said, hey, lady, will you marry me? No.
It's KT Tunstall, live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. Thanks again for coming by. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Cheers. Thank you so much.